Menachos Perk Tes Mishnah Zayin 9-7. Now we begin to talk for a bit about smicha. Now smicha has to do with zvachim, animal sacrifices, cows, goats, and sheep. It doesn't have to do with menachos directly at all. So really, it's sort of something which kind of belongs in sechas zvachim, so to speak. But in any case, since we're talking about things, other elements like we're talking about the nesachim that accompany and go hand in hand with bringing a zevach, an animal offering. So to the smicha, we mentioned that here. So smicha is like a mitzvah all to itself. It's not ma'akev. If a person fails to smicha on his korban, then the korban is still effective. But lacharchila, essentially, as the Mishnah will say here, korbanos need to have smicha done first. And that essentially means that a person puts his hands on the animal's head, pushes down with all his strength, and then will do a confession. According to everyone, the vidui, the confession, goes prior to the offering of achatas, an asham, and an ola. And all that's coming to atone for bitul mitzvahs asa anyways, for sure. According to Rashi, there would be a vidui also on the generic shlamim and the toda. According to the Rambam, when you're bringing your shlamim and animals that aren't coming to atone for sin, so instead of doing a vidui, confessing a sin, you're going to be doing saying shevach, praising Hashem when you do the smicha, but there's a smicha there. It seems, according to Rashi, there's a Rashi in Daf Nun of Erevin, which suggests there's a bracha to be said as part of the mitzvah of doing a smicha, and the Ramban says similarly that there is. The Rambam makes no mention of a bracha on smicha. In any case, so that's what we're talking about over here. It says the Mishnah inside, kol karbanos hatzibur ein behem smicha. There's no mitzvah of smicha, of laying the hands on tziburi, a public animal sacrifices, except chutz min apar haba al kol hamitzvos v'seir hamishtaleach. There are two exceptions, and there's a halacha l'mosh mesina tradition that there are two exceptions, that there is a public offering, and it's paid for by the public, and it's coming to stone for sin, and there's a smicha done on it. The first is the what here is called the par haba al kol hamitzvos. This is referring to what we call the par helem davar, when the Sanhedrin rules something's permitted, and they later on say that we made a mistake, it's forbidden, and actually it's a chi of kares, that crime that we permitted, like they said something's not Asar and Shabbos, but it is Asar and Shabbos, they changed their minds to say, and the majority of the population, or shaved, whatever it is, followed their ruling wrongly, so then the Parhelim Davar is brought to atone collectively, instead of having every individual person bring a private chattas offering, because these are sins that require a chattas offering. So there, as a representative, or perhaps five representatives of the Sanhedrin, will lay their hands on the Parhelim Davar as part of the process, and they'll confess the sin. Sira Mishaleach, that's the scapegoat that's sent to the throne of the jagged precipice, whatever it is, in the desert on Yom Kippur, to atone for the sins of the Jewish people. And there's a vidu dam of the Kohen Gadol on that as well. Now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, af se'ire avodah zarah, he says there actually is another animal that has the vidui, and that is really like almost like a first cousin of the parhelim davar. If the same scenario happens, the Sanhedrin permitted something, but the thing they permitted was actually a avodah zarah crime. And then afterwards they said, oh no, we made a mistake, it's forbidden. So people are over in Israel of avodah zarah, but would carry a penalty of now bringing a chatas, instead of bring the parhelim davar, the bull, for the concealed matter, the Sanhedrin brings a goat. Okay, a goat, and this goat, then again, the Sanhedrin representatives will lay their hand on the goat, or hands on the goat, and confess. And then that will, you know, so that's another example of where there is a vidui on a public offering. Now, the truth is, Rabbi Shimon has the same tradition that there are only two. But he agrees that I'll call it all three of these animals do have smicha, because he holds that the Seir Mishlech doesn't count. Seir Mishlech isn't really a korban in the sense that the person who's bringing it is doing a vidui to atone for his own sins. The Kohanim are getting actually atonement from the bull that the Kohen Gadol brings, and this is atone for the rest of the Jewish people. So like the person doing the vidui isn't the person like the Balaam getting atonement, so it's a different kind of thing. In any case, that's for Bishim and Shita. Halacha is not like him. Halacha is like the Rambam Pascha, like Tanakama, that there is just a public smicha done for tziburiya, public animals, the Seir Mishleach and the Parhelim Davar. Says the Mishnah further, kol karbonos hayachid, Teunim Tzmicha. Private offerings, they all in general require smicha prior to their being b'charchila. They're required to have the smicha done to them prior to being offered. Chutz, with exceptions, mina b'chor, the first, you know, the b'chor, the firstborn animal, let's call it, ha'maiser, the tenth, the tithe animal, and the pesach, the korban pesach. Those three are different. Says the Rambam, because those are actually coming neither to atone for sin, nor as a doron, as a gift to Hashem. There's something else entirely. In other words, you're not getting a sin atoned for giving a gift when you bring your miser or your bechor. Those essentially are just required to be brought as korbanos and then either eaten by the person if it's a miser or the kohen if it's a bechor. Fine. And the pesach is something else also. It's not a gift to Hashem and it's not a to atone for sin. It's something else to you know pledge national identity. That's called whatever the korban pesach is. And therefore, again, there's no smicha on the pesach. Now the Mishnah has a new point really, which is the status of an inherited korban. So normally, if I have to bring a chatas and then I die before I bring it, so then the animal isn't brought for the dead man. Even if I have heirs, of course, the yorshim, the heirs, don't bring it on my behalf. Once I'm dead, there's no korban to be brought. However, sometimes you can have, let's say, you designate an animal to be an adav, let's say. You say, this animal is going to be my ola or my shlamim. So now it's designated as such. When I die, it passes on to my children. It says the Mishnah here that the yorshim, the heir to that animal, brings it as a korban. Not only that, but the yorish is somech, the yorish is smicha. Normally, when only the person, like I said, who's the bialim, the owner of this animal, he can do smicha. So just hypothetically, let's say I commit to being a korban, then I can't bring it because I don't know, my legs don't work, okay? So now I send the shliach to do it for me. So he'll bring my ola on my behalf, but he won't do smicha on it because only the bialim can do smicha. But here we're saying the yorish is somech because we're considering the heir, the child who inherits the father, so he's the yorish, so that yorish, he's like the bialim, and he will not only bring the animal, he actually does smicha on it as well. Moreover, umevi nesachim. If it's an ola or shlamim, he'll bring nesachim too. There's a machlokas in the portion, but we're talking about a situation where the father designated, you know, the oil and flour and wine to be the nesachim, or even if he didn't, even if he just, the father just designated the animal to be the ola or shlamim, and then the child inherits it, when he brings it out of his own pocket, now he has to give a supplementary, you know, payment essentially to purchase the nesachim, the machlokas, what the status of that is. And finally, umemir. Memir means, that's the isser of tamura. The Torah says you can't attempt to switch the kedusha from one animal that's been consecrated to a different one. So the father made this goat, to be designated as an ola. When the son inherits it, we're saying here, if the son says, oh gosh, you know, that goat is pathetic, we have great goats, I'm going to bring a nice goat, illinishal to my father, let me do tamura and switch out the kedusha from this pathetic goat to this fantastic goat, I'll bring that one instead. So that's when if he tries to do that, to transfer the kedusha, that is actually an iser d'oraisa of tamura. But as it happens, the kedusha spreads. So now what happens is not only is the first so-called pathetic goat consecrated as an ola, but so too is the second. Now they both have to come as olas. Okay, so tamura is usr, but it's effective. The point here is that the yoresh, the child, can effect tamura and, you know, make the second goat that he tries to substitute for the first get kedusha as well. This in contrast to, let me just explain. Let's say, for example, the father didn't die. Okay, so I designated my animal as my ola. My son thinks, that's pathetic, Dad. Let me try to substitute, you know, a better goat for that goat. And the child tries to do it. That's ineffective because the child, it's not his goat to transfer or substitute. So he can't effect, tamura. So the Mishnah is saying that the yoresh becomes the bialim, the heir becomes the owner of this committed animal, so much so that he, in fact, has the ability to do tamura as well. He shouldn't, he may not, but he's meimir. If he attempts tamura, yes, it is effective.